Place to place, and I do a series of preaching. Only you only get one out of the series. This morning we're looking at part of the Lord's Prayer, which is "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." But let's look at it in the context of this prayer. We're going to read Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. Excuse me, I realize that I'm using the other translation. Let me get the translation that you're looking at, and I'll read there. I'm sorry. Matthew 6 again. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say unto you, they've received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say unto you, they've received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows that you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, we'll close the reading there. It goes on with the same thing, though. Don't do it before your neighbors. Now, turn also to Judges 18. You may not be so familiar with this passage. Judges chapter 18. And I'll read the first 12 verses. See if you can make the connection between the two passages. In those days, there was no king in Israel. And in those days, the tribe of the people of Dan was seeking for itself an inheritance to dwell in. For until then, no inheritance among the tribe of Israel had fallen to them. So the people of Dan sent 5 able men from the whole number of their tribe, from Zorah and from Eshtol, to spy out the land and to explore it. And they said to them, "Go and explore the land." And they came to the hill country of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, and lodged there. When they were by the house of Micah, they recognized the voice of the young Levite. And they turned aside and said to him, "Who brought you here? What are you doing in this place? What is your business here?" And he said to them, "This is how Micah dealt with me. He's hired me, and I have become his priest." And they said to him, "Inquire of God, please, that we may know whether the journey on which we are setting out will succeed." The priest said to him, "Go in peace. The journey on which you go is under the eye of the Lord." Then the 5 men departed and came to Laish, and saw the people were there, how they lived in security, after the manner of the Sidonians, quiet and unsuspecting, lacking nothing that is in the earth and possessing wealth. And how they were far from the Sidonians and had no dealings with anyone. And when they came to their brothers at Zorah and Eshtol, their brothers said to them, "What do you report?" They said, "Arise and let us go up against them, for we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good, and will you do nothing? Do not be slow to go, to enter in and possess the land. As soon as you go, you will come to an unsuspecting people. The land is spacious, for God has given it into your hands, a place where there is no lack of anything in all the earth." So, 600 men of the tribe of Dan, armed with weapons of war, set out from Zoar to Eshtol, and went up and encamped at Kiriath-Jearim in Judah. On this account, that place is called Mahanon Dan. To this day, behold, it is west of Kiriath-Jearim. And they passed on from there to the hill country of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah. We will close the reading at that point. What do you pray for when you pray that the will of God be done in earth as it is in heaven? Think about it. What is that? What are you looking for? How will you know when that prayer is answered? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We won't plumb the fullness of this today, but I want us to introduce your thinking, to challenge it, that you might think, what am I doing when I pray? What am I asking for? Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The disciples came to Jesus and asked him in the Luke account, "Teach us to pray." Now, why did they need Jesus to teach him to pray? I mean, they'd been to the temple services. They'd been to the synagogue services. They'd heard the prayers of the Pharisees on the street corners. Teach us to pray. John's disciples had taught his disciples to pray. Why? Had they not heard the Shema every morning from their Father? The Lord God is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Had they not heard those rabbis pray? Teach us to pray. They'd seen, though, that Jesus' example of prayer was quite different from that of the Pharisees. He went out into the mountains at night to pray. Why? They sensed there was something different. They couldn't understand it all, and they struggled even to the very time of his crucifixion to understand what was happening. Jesus had said in the temple that one day, synagogue that one day after he'd read from Isaiah, "This day, these words are fulfilled in your ears. Something has happened. Something is changing. It's different from the old prophets." Because the prophets kept saying, "It will, it will, it will." But here, this one comes saying, "Here it is." And so he taught them to pray. And let's remember that the prayer of Jesus here is a pattern for us to follow. Now, people try to come up with all kinds of patterns, but let me tell you the significance of this pattern. It tells you what to pray for. It doesn't just leave it open, just give thanksgiving. What are you thankful for today? Well, I'm thankful for this, I'm thankful for that thing. It doesn't begin that way. And there's a reason why Jesus doesn't begin that way. He teaches you to think the mind of Christ. That before your life, in the middle of your life, in all of your life, Christ is the center. You don't begin asking, "Well, God, I want this, I want that, I want..." You begin by saying, "Your kingdom come." That puts a focus on you. You're looking at the Muslim world, you're looking at the United States of America, you're looking at any of these nations, and you're saying, these are not the fulfillment of the gospel. The fulfillment of the gospel is the coming of the kingdom. And Jesus said, it's among you today. It wasn't something for you to sit in and wait down the years. But you remember when they came and asked him? He says, you're looking at it right now. And what were they looking at? They were looking at Christ. They were looking at Jesus. Your kingdom come. Oh, before that he taught them to pray, hallowed be your name. Why did he pray that first? Because you aren't going to pray properly until you understand the power and the greatness of the God whom you serve. Several of you children here, when was the last time you asked Dad for $1 million? Haven't you asked him for $1 million? Be careful at lunch, fathers, you may get the question. But why don't you ask that? Because you know Dad doesn't have $1 million to give you. You might ask him for 20, maybe. Maybe they even know better than that. But they know that Dad doesn't have $1 million to give, so why ask? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is able to give us the nations as an inheritance? If you don't know that He's the one who in the beginning created by the word of His power, and He spoke and it was done, how can you believe that He can give us the nations as an inheritance? And so you won't pray that way. You pray to make it along from day to day, and maybe He'll give me a few of the nice things that I can enjoy in this life. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. And then he says, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Something you might try doing is go over your prayers. Maybe the prayers of the congregation. I don't want this to in any way diminish your requests. But what area of this prayer would you put most of your requests under? Hallowed be your name. Give us this day our daily bread. Do you remember what Jesus said? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. In other words, spend your time on those things and these things will be added. What were these things? Clothing, food, shelter, health. Is that not what we spend much of our time praying? You see, the ill health was given for a purpose. It wasn't just that you might be pray and be delivered from that, but as we learn in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. Is that your chief prayer? Instead of praying, heal my broken legs, heal my gimpy knees, you pray, conform me. The image of Christ. Is that your desire? Why did he not give them all this kind of food in the wilderness? I made you hungry, that you might learn that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so would you long for that word that comes from the mouth of God? How much of our prayer do we spend to know the will of God? Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, what would you say that means? If you were to write that out, a description of that, what would you write? Well, I should live a moral life. And you ought to. I shouldn't be cursing, taking the name of God in vain. I shouldn't be dishonoring my parents. I should be thankful. And you can think of all, and that's right. You ought to do that. But is that the sum of it? Or is that just the beginning? Let's understand in the catechism that was written for those of you who are under 12 or the simple-minded. Guess where that puts me. But he asked this question. What do we pray for in the third petition? The third petition, which is, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We pray that God, by His grace, will make us able and willing to know, obey, and submit to His will as the angels do in heaven. If you trace the appearance of angels in the earth, they appear in relation to the coming of the Messianic King. And when is there a whole choir of angels that comes? At the birth of Christ. Because why? They're so intent on seeing the redemptive work of Christ worked out on the earth. Ought not that be where our attention should be? Before you pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pray, hallowed be your name. Because as soon as you begin to see the will of God, you're going to say, this is too big for me. I can't even imagine it. Much less be a part of it. Sometime after the Reformation, especially in the 1800s, there was a little shift that came in the thinking of the church. It doesn't sound like much of a shift, but it is a significant shift. You remember the focus of the first catechism question? What is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. You know it well, don't you? I could probably ask you that down at the gas station and you could probably repeat it for me. But what happened was, in the 1800s, they began to say, the thing that's really important is for unbelievers to know Jesus so they won't go to hell. Well, isn't that a good thing? We'd like to see people come to know Christ. Yes, but there's a significant difference. Where is the focus? The focus is on the unbeliever, not on the glory of God. And so what they did, they wanted to make the world, the church, look as much like the world as they possibly could, so that people would say, it's not such a big change to come to know Christ. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And so they changed the music. They got their bands, instead of being in the front of the building, they would be outside. And they'd sing they'd play the tunes of the age. And then they begin to dress like the world. And preaching focused not on the glory of God, but on how awful hell is, and you ought to believe in Jesus so you will go to heaven and not have to endure hell. Understand, it's not too far off. We do want them, for the glory of the sake of the glory of God, to know Christ. But you see, when we take the glory of Christ out of it, when we remove the focus being the honor of Christ as King, then we start doing everything that we can for that unbeliever rather than focusing on Christ. Small shift, and if you want to talk about that another time, we can. Preaching, though, focused less and less on the glory of God and more on the needs of men. And you notice the liberal church today is focusing entirely on the needs of Christ. The difference between the church and the world was insignificant. So it's very, very important for us to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The church loses its place and its significance in the culture. Education is moved now by the theory of philosophy and the philosophy of evolution. It's more important. It became more important in the 1920s. That you not smoke, drink, dance, play cards, or go to movies, or run around with women who do, than it was to understand that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And your children might go to school, And they wouldn't know the nursery rhymes, but they would know, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Because at home they were being indicted, they were being inculcated with the Word of God. It was better to know the Lord is my shepherd than to know the popular songs of the day. The will of God, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I want you to think now, go back to the Judges story. Did you, anybody figure out the connection there? Judges. You know, in the early chapters of Judges, you go through and you talk about this tribe, Judah. They did this, but they couldn't conquer those. Another, they did this, but they couldn't conquer those. Why could they not conquer? Was it because God was not able to give them the victory? Or had they forgotten to pray, "Hallowed be your name"? And so they felt they couldn't do the will of God. You remember in Joshua, he divided the land up and he gave this land to this tribe and this land to this tribe. What was the calling of God on those tribes? It was to conquer the land. It was to take possession of the land. It was to rule the land. And so they often could not do that because they hadn't learned, "Hallowed be your name." Now, here's a trivia question for you. Where was Dan's inheritance assigned? Now, let me give you a warning. Don't think of that phrase "from Dan to Beersheba," because that wasn't Dan's land. That wasn't his assignment. Dan's assignment was off to the west in the towns of Ashkelon, Gaza. Do those two names mean anything to you? Ajalon. Those were the cities of the Philistines. And the men of Dan got together one day and they said, "Hey, we can't conquer these people. This is too hard for us. Let's choose out 5 men to go find a land that we can conquer." And so they chose out 5 men. And those 5 men wound up over to the north, where you now think of Dan. And they found a people there that were isolated from all the other nations around them. And they said, "Aha! This is the will of God for us to come up and conquer these people. And we'll live here in peace." Forget about what that assignment was. God probably didn't intend us to do that because it's too hard. So we'll go up. And so that's exactly what they did. They went, well, they did find a Levite along the way. And so they thought they'd inquire them concerning the will of God. "The will of God is for me to have a quiet life. A place where I can live in peace." And so he said, "Luana, the Lord's blessing is with you." And so they came back and they got the men of Dan, and they went back on up and they conquered that land and they lived there. But what was the will of God to be done in earth? The will of God for Dan was to conquer the Philistines. I hope that name rings a bell for you, the Philistines. You remember it was that great giant of a man who would come out every day and would defy the armies of Israel. "Send us a man that we may fight. And if I win, you become our servants. If he wins," the very thought of it, "let will become your servants." And you remember that day when David went down. He said, "You may come with swords and staves, but I come in the name of the God of Israel, whose armies you have defied." And you remember, it was those Philistines that had not been conquered by Dan that were the problem that goes on down through the life of Israel, because they didn't do the will of God on earth as it was done in heaven. And you can imagine, as they lived there in their quiet life, enjoying the pleasures of that city, of that place, we've done the will of God. We've conquered a people. And now, we live in peace. I believe it was Bonhoeffer who one day in Germany was thinking on the activities of the Third Reich. And he said to himself, I must pray for the destruction of my own nation and culture. And maybe for us to know the will of God in earth as it is in heaven, maybe we are to the point where we have to pray that same thing for our country. Are you willing to say, the will of God on earth is not first of all my personal peace and affluence. It is that God be glorified in all things, in all the earth. Makes praying that petition a little harder, doesn't it? Maybe peace is not what we need. But what we do need is a vision of the glory of God, who in the beginning created by the word of his power in the space of 6 days, and it was all very good. He is able. He has the power to turn men everywhere to himself. But he's calling you and me and us together to submit ourselves to him, knowing that he has the power to transform us. It's not enough for us to say, well, we're not as bad as those people. It's the calling to be conformed to the image of Christ. So that when you have those health issues, the health issues aren't the center of your prayer, but the center of your prayer is that I might be conformed to the image of his Son. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in earth. Yes, my friends, live morally. Keep the commandments. But see, there's a greater picture here. It's not just that you may go to heaven when you die, but it is the earth, as Isaiah said, that the earth may be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. That day might come when no man would need say to his neighbor, know the Lord, for all will know him from the least to the greatest. Now, maybe in your eschatology you say that's not going to be complete in this age, and that's fine. But you have no other task. That's your calling. That we might see God glorified in the earth. It's not enough to have a culture where Christians are free to do what they ought to do. But it's enough to see the earth filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Now, I know that in most translations, the closing to the Lord's Prayer is not there, though it's found other places in Scripture. And so we find it well to pray, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That's what's at stake, friends. It's not your fine life. It's not your fancy car. It's not the freedoms that you've enjoyed in the past. That's not the issue. The issue is the kingdom of God. The power of God. And the glory of Christ. May your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Father in heaven, teach us to pray that your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And let us not hold back and try to hold some of these pleasures to ourselves, but let us find our pleasure in the glory of Christ. It's in his name that we pray, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.